Welcome back, weary travelers, to Recorder on the Wall. I'm Drew.
I'm Katie.
I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Pete.
And this time we're going to be talking about the animated series, episodes 5 through 8.
Yay, I got my sugary cereals and my feety pajamas to watch some cartoons!
Yay!
Yeah, I got some Reese's right here.
Yeah, we decided to take a break from the book. Yay!
I don't know how much yay there was involved in watching at least a couple of these episodes.
Well,
we're pretty good!
That was convincing. Good job.
We got some anime-only exclusives, like Wild Ivy, the most memorable character besides Barlow.
Cave filler.
There's the muscle otter.
Muscle otter.
Everybody loves a muscle otter.
But he doesn't have a sea lion bark. Are we sure he's an otter?
Otter bet he is.
Oh. Okay. I have a dog now. Anyway. Anyhow, so...
We have our next guest!
What did you think about episode 5?
Yeah, pretty much.
It was rough.
It was rough.
We can do it!
Goodness.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. That was perfect.
That was scary. I'm terrified.
We should just stop the podcast now. I don't think we're going to ever beat that.
We're done.
So how rough was it, Drew?
Oh, Lord. Anyway, episode 5, if any of y'all haven't seen it, is a filler episode, exactly like was said, where Clooney and the gang decide to... dress up like clowns and invade Redwall after a circus comes to Redwall, fronted by the mysterious knife thrower, Wild Ivy.
Yes.
And every single time Wild Ivy is on the screen, there's a very specific music that goes with it. And it goes something like...
And yes, listeners, that is accurate.
Oh, wow.
After you said Clooney and the gang, all I could think of was Pinky and the Brain, and then Clooney's wild schemes, and, like, Chief going, Chief, what are we going to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over Redwall.
Dude, those voices were pretty good.
The Clooney and the thief. I don't know. I'm a fan of the Scooby-Doo element here.
Zoinks, gang. Clooney's up to something.
Zoinks! There's quite a bit of that Scooby-Doo element.
Well,
Matthias
we kinda...
is up.
That's not a clown. It's actually Old Rat Clooney!
I would have gotten away with it, too, if not for you meddling kids. And you notice how the Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys subplot gets completely dropped for 4 episodes.
Yep. Pretty much.
I mean, not that Cornflower...
Oh, go ahead.
Say, Cornflower is actually still more useful than Matthias is, but that's just my 2 cents on that.
Well, there is that.
I feel like episode 5 should have just been titled, Oops, we ran through 2/3 of the book. Let's make things up.
Exactly. It's funny because on the Redwall wiki page where I looked to make sure that I didn't miss anything, because hashtag blind person problems. So I looked on it and it says like it has a list of stuff under it that's differences from the book to the animated series. And there was like, this literally didn't happen in the book.
They still cut out Tom Bombadil.
Oh no. Okay, but seriously, though, Matthias, I love how it starts with the circus is coming to town. There's some moles on the side of the road. They're chopping logs or something. And then two rats just hop on the back of the trailer. The moles don't say Jack Baloney. They're just like, this is fine. This is okay. They're like, aw, rats. Literally. They cut off the trunk. They're like, this is our trunk. Now they run off. And nobody's the wiser until they get to the Abbey. And they're just like, oh, no, our trunk.
Okay, what was that knife slicing noise? And the sun reduction of weight? And the loud thumps?
There was probably nothing.
We had no clue. I like how the rats are hiding in the bushes like 5 feet away, too. They're just, they're not even hiding. They're just standing there. They're like, oh, look, get it.
Yes.
My lord. They built a catapult, though. That was cool.
Yeah, Red Walrus are actually kind of showing productive elements here, and they're building better defenses. And truth be told, in all four of these episodes, we actually see defenders, like, in armor and with weapons, and it definitely implies that the Abbey's been doing a lot more productive elements.
And as we quickly learn, it's all against the Abbot's orders. That's why it's so productive.
Oh my god, yeah.
Oh, the Abbot
insane. I love how quick the Abbot is to give up in the animated series. He's like, rats at the walls? Abandon the Abbey. And everybody's like, Abbot, no, we can't do that. He's like, yes, we can.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I'm looking for my white flag.
Yeah.
It's too dangerous.
We get a callback to the first episode with Matthias. Like, where's Methuselah? Oh, he's resting.
Oh, my God.
We all know what happens.
And the fact Matthias can't see through that, yeah.
It's like, really, Matthias? That's the second time you fell for that.
Well, he's can't a little preoccupied, you know.
Well, they deliberately, they're like, don't tell Matthias that Methuselah's dying. That would be bad.
Yeah, we wouldn't want Matthias to be able to spend Methuselah's last moments with him. Let's not do that.
No. He's fine.
At least he didn't die in a dick like his sister.
I have less good news, everyone. I'm dying.
So shall we talk about Wild Ivy a little bit more?
Let's talk about this random character who comes right out of nowhere, has nothing to do with the book, is gone by the end of this episode, and is never talked about again.
Yes, she's got an interesting accent that I can't... I think it's supposed to be, like, Cockney or something, but it just sounds like somebody reading something badly in a weird accent.
Oi, you got a nice looking abbey there!
With a fat abbot and everything.
I want to meet the abbot. I don't know why I want to meet the abbot, but I want to meet the abbot.
That was one of my favorite lines when she was just like, oh, you got this abbey, you know, with a fat abbot and everything. And Matthias looks back for a second and just goes, yeah.
He's like, yep, our abbot's fat, all right.
What'd you say about me, Matthias? Nothing.
Nothing, you just keep surrendering to our enemies and letting them murder us.
Yes.
Have a good time, Papa Abbot.
And, yeah, let's just say outright, Mortimer's kind of an idiot. You already touched on this earlier, that he just wants outright surrender, but even when he's getting sound tactical advice in all four episodes, he's just like, oh no, the war's over.
Yeah. So are the writers just, are they trying to simplify it a little bit for the kids to make it, you know, the abbot kind of like a caricature of the book Abbot, or are they just kind of bad at writing the abbot?
Yeah, column A and column B.
Yeah. Well, considering this episode was complete original material, I'm going to go with they're bad at writing.
Well... See, I didn't go that far. I just said bad at writing the abbot.
Oh, I went there. I went there. I took pictures, and I went home.
You got the t-shirt?
Yep. And a hat. I went to insult the writers, and all I got was this crappy t-shirt.
Oh, man.
I also noticed that the animation, I won't say it takes a nosedive here, but they definitely cheapen their efforts. There are some deliberate scenes that are repeated, like, right after another, or there's one commercial break. I say that because it was shown on PBS, which does not have commercials where I am. And where they literally hold on to a single frame of animation for about 10 seconds.
Dude, there's a scene in it where CeeLo walks through the door. Like, she's one of the circus... She's one of the people going to the circus. And I was
I'm not dead.
Wait.
I'm feeling better.
She's okay. Because she got away from Clooney.
Well, I'm sure Chicken Hound's completely fine. Okay, come on, I can't do that again.
Well, speaking of the animation, and I know this has to do with the budget issues that occurred around this time in the show, but there were, like, I don't know, maybe 15 Redwallers and maybe 15 rats.
Huh.
And they were like, look at his army.
speaking of weird animation, we have the scale issue again with, I mean, yeah, the series has to establish some sort of common scale between sizes of creatures, fine. But we literally have the circus walk in with three owls who dive bomb people, apparently, and a weird not badger. What are you?
I was wondering what the heck that picture was.
Yeah.
And you have, and like, a fox. It looks like a different fox's head.
Yeah.
Like, the lighting doesn't look right.
And then, besides the fact that weird, when we flash forward to Captain Snow, he's probably the biggest thing we've seen so far.
Oh, bigger than Basil?
Yep.
Yeah.
I do like
to grab Matthias in one claw, like, completely overwhelm him. But no, we have owls that are smaller than sparrows as part of the circus. And
well,
yeah, I did it in real life. There's different sizes of owls, but what is going on here?
The A-team of animators went on vacation.
And yeah, the strange not badger. I don't know what this is. I posted a screen cap I took of it in the Google Doc.
I kind of like Basil in like the foreground. He's just kind of rolling his eyes like, yep, things are looking weird. What?
This is trippy. I like the whole dream sequence with Matthias on the roof on the Good Kush. He's just like, knives falling! And it's just like you said, that repeated animation of just, like, these really badly drawn knives. Just, like, somebody copy-pasted five of them, and they were like, this is fine. And it's just a blue sky and these five knives dropping, and then he wakes up, he's like, ah! That was a scary dream. I wonder what that means.
Looks like the import from Salamanistron came in. You know what? They put on the blue sky because the copy and pasting, they just took chunks of the sky with it, so this way you wouldn't tell. Microsoft Paint copy and paste.
Yeah. But back to the actual plot with Wild Ivy. I like how nobody trusts her right off the bat. And she doesn't warrant trust right off the bat, because the first thing she does as soon as she gets in there is run up to their battle plans and go, what are those?
And no one stops her either.
Yeah. Constance and Basil are like, oh, who is this? And Basil is like, well, you just introduced herself. That's Wild Ivy. Really pretty.
Who?
Matthias is like, she followed me home. Can I keep her?
Yeah.
Please? But it was the same thing outside the Abbey, too, because he was like, maybe I should be suspicious of her, but I should show her to the Abbot. And then once they realize the trunk's gone, he's like, oh, actually, you guys need to get inside the Abbey right now. I forgot you were literally at war.
Yeah. You figure Clooney would have a better idea of what's around the Abbey that he's besieging. And just, you know, would he necessarily let this circus through? I mean, say what you want about Badrang back in Martin the Warrior. He at least has a better sense of this.
Yeah, I feel like everybody in this episode held the idiot ball at some point.
Yeah.
Every single person.
I think so.
I was
going to
say, No, Cornflower is pretty good. Cornflower was fine, but Cornflower had like 4 speaking lines the entire time.
And then she's used as a generic damsel in distress at one point.
And literally a color swap palette version of her is also right alongside and put in distress. And anyone knows this.
Mice all look the same.
Wow,
realism in the anime.
Racist.
Everyone's a little bit racist.
It's true.
But they let the circus in. The circus is performing with fire near the tapestry.
That's okay. Really point.
Yeah. Okay.
This is going to be
this magic tapestry that somehow tells the future.
Future. So does Wild Ivy, apparently. What?
Yeah, she's apparently psychic.
She reads his palm. He doesn't have a palm. They're mice. I don't get it.
She reads
when
his
palm.
When
the clowns run in? The clowns
run
in the rat?
How anthropomorphic are they?
When the rat clowns run in, they all laugh. They aren't even doing anything. They don't even do anything. They're just like, haha, clowns. This is great.
Lol's clowns.
Lol's clowns. And even when, think about the circus. Think about how many people are in the circus. Like 6 people, 7 people? And they see these 2 weird, clowns they've never seen before in their life. And they're like, we pick people up all the time. Probably not a big deal.
Yeah, they don't recognize that they're not part of their own crew.
They're 2 times the size of anybody else we have in our crew. That's fine. It's good. No worries.
Well, maybe this is why the Red Rollers are that stupid in Matameo to let a circus in.
Just really ugly.
But it is what it is. So these 2 rats sneak in, and their job is to basically let the main gate open for Kalina's people to come in. And
his dozen rats, his dozen rat army.
Yep.
They don't even do the open the gate thing right.
No, not really, no. So when Clooney's on his way out, the circus decides they've had enough of this, and they pack right out, and they're leaving, and Matthias basically tells Clooney, hey, let him take passage, and Clooney agrees? Okay.
Yeah, that made no sense.
Okay, it's not like they could, you could have a complete... enemy troop hiding in their carts, or maybe the Red Wars are fleeing to safety, and... No. Okay.
Yeah, it was Clooney's turn to hold the idiot ball.
What is this? You've given me cheese thief.
It's an idiot ball, sir. I've been holding it since the beginning of the show. I'm tired of carrying it.
Hey, where are you even keeping it?
What do you think?
Prison pocket.
Which we mean by that, down it's in his coat. Because we're a PG podcast.
Yes. I was talking about literally the pocket, on jumpsuits and stuff. Basil actually held the idiot ball at one point. After Wild Ivy threw the knives at, Matthias, and then the rat comes into the thing and it's just like, alright, I have a knife to his throat. Hey, Evan Bormo surrenders immediately. Surrenders within seconds. He's like, all right, we'll open the gate. And Basil's like, sir? So then he knocks out the rat, and then he starts yelling at Wild Ivy. He's like, why didn't you take out the rat? She's literally holding 0 knives. She threw all of her knives. She's just standing there like, what do you mean? Was I just supposed to spear that guy?
She was supposed to use harsh language.
Calls her a cad.
I swear to God, if he switched places with Fleetscut for this episode, we probably would have noticed.
I
can't deal with... Basil's just like, I can't deal with this level of stupidity. I'm going to my trailer. Get the stunt double!
Oh, God. Fleetscut's like, my time to shine in the worst episode of the show.
Yay!
Yeah, I do like, though, when the rats are running at the gate and they close it on him, he kind of waves at them like, hey, bye.
And yeah, but the two rats that were in the Abbey, and even though they put him in the, apparently the Abbey has a brick now, okay, they escape and knock out their mole guard, and then they capture Cornflower and her gray twin.
Yes, whose name I've forgotten.
Doesn't matter.
Unimportant S.
Yes.
Yeah. And damsel in distress is right.
Yeah.
Go on.
So yes, the rats basically dangle him over the edge of the Abbey, and Matthias is like, and Matthias is like, hey, don't hurt them, I like one of them.
Yeah. Cornflower's like,
I have no idea what you're...
He grabbed my wrist, my only weakness.
And, but yes, the rats are defeated because, it's a kid's series.
So, yep.
Of course, well, the bad guys can't win.
And then they end this god-awful episode with a important plot moment of Methuselah dying.
Poor Methuselah. Which, I gotta say, I felt nothing. Like, in the book, when I read it, I was really sad by it. And in the series, I was just like, oh, okay, well, he's sad. That's sad. I feel nothing. I have a heart of stone.
It's like one of those moments where, like, I think I'm supposed to be feeling something now.
Yeah, like the sad.
Goodbye, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the Fleet Scut of episodes.
Scut of episodes.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I misplaced my heart after Martin the Warrior.
Well, maybe.
I can't be bothered to care about this episode. Should we move on to the next one?
Do we have to?
Yes, please.
I like how episode 6 also starts with the abbot thinking about surrender.
Well, yeah.
It's the first thing that happens. Go on.
And then, oh yes, when morale is low and there's an argument of where Formal basically is about ready to cut a mouse over an acorn.
Acorn.
My acorn.
Well,
hey, I wouldn't want to mess with Formal.
I will say a positive thing from the beginning of this episode, where ignoring the fact that Redwall really should be self-sufficient, Clooney stopping anyone from like delivering goods is actually not a bad idea. That's
smart.
Tactically, it's smart. It's also stupid and goes against everything the books explain.
Well, yes, there is that.
Yeah, well, the book also didn't have a stupid section with a stupid circus, so, you know.
Oh, I also wrote some notes here. Wrote down here when the abbot chides Formal in the mouse. Now go to your room. What?
Hey, cut it out.
Sorry. Props to the voice actors, though. I like they're arguing. They're like, yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. And then Abbott's like, hey, everybody here has to live in peace. And Formal gives the mouse the thing, and they're like, okay. They're wandering up the stairs, and then he's like, yes, it is.
I totally saw it first. No, you didn't. Yes, I did.
Formal knows the mouse has to sleep sometime.
Oh.
Ooh, that got dark.
Well, after being utterly useless in the previous episode, we are now returned to Cornflower Knows Everything, Saturdays at 8.
Well, yeah.
Nancy Drew is back.
Which is kind of annoying, but it's like we make her the super awesome female character until we need a typical female in distress, and then we'll be like, oh no, she can't do anything.
Yeah,
you can tell
my powers.
You can tell what was written by the actual writers of the show.
Yeah,
maybe the A team of the writers took the week off too for episode 5.
So yeah, Basil, Jess, Constance, and, well, Matthias, they're basically like, yeah, morale's low, and we're kind of running out of time here. And the abbot still wants to surrender.
Yep, which I don't think he ever wanted to do in the book. I think he was like...
Ah, hell no, he didn't.
Yeah, he said something like, if I if I thought that you would spare my friends, I would surrender, but I know you, Clooney, and you're evil, and you won't, so I won't kneel to you. Or so he gave this, like, awesome speech.
Yep.
And, I mean, outright, we're told Clooney outright tells him, yeah, you're going to be my slaves, I'm going to drown you in the pond, and, yeah.
I might even push you out of a window for fun. I read about it once, it sounded cool. Cool.
I would just like to think that Clooney never had to deal with Vermin HR because they were the ones that didn't survive the cart crash at the beginning of the episode, of the show or the book.
Aw, poor Vermin HR.
Ouchies.
It's like, Clooney, some guys are trapped underneath the cart. I don't care.
Yeah, they're out with
HR. They sign our paychecks. I really don't care.
There was actually... I have to compliment the writers on one bit in this. It was probably my favorite line that came out of this episode where Clooney has Cheese Thief and one of the other captains on the ground. He's like, what do you think happens to, you know, incompetent failures or something? And he's like, you know, the only it's death by execution, boss. And he's like, and he's like, and we're really, really sorry. And Clooney's like, is that the best you can do? And they're like, we're not good with words.
Yeah, I like that too.
I mean, even the series admits this, but at least compared to the book, Clooney's army is like really undisciplined and kind of a rabble and...
And stupid.
Yeah, he's a much more effective... Yeah, stupid. He's a much more effective leader in the book.
Yeah. I would like to point out, I swear, I don't know what character it's actually supposed to be, but one of Clooney's henchmen looks like Monterey Jack from Rescue Rangers. Like, with the
I think
big...
Kilconi.
Oh.
Not that it matters.
Yeah. Pete, do you get what I'm saying, right? Like, he has the mustache and everything?
Mustache. Yeah.
I must ask you a question.
Yeah.
He's very proud of himself.
Yeah. Yeah, he would be. But yes, but basically we have the this is the straight out of the book, this is the Tapestry rescue, but Matthias is acting like an idiot and thinks Jess and Basil are deserting.
Yes.
Actually, everybody thinks that, so...
Some added drama that was not in the book, and I don't understand why they rushed through, like, the really dramatic parts, like, with the sparrows and the riddle and everything, and then they're just like, oh, we need more stuff. Let's have everybody fight. Yeah, fight.
So, yes, and we get, well, we also get Jess and Basil's actual rescue of the test party, but Matthias has to tag along.
Matthias in the jungle swinging around on a rope.
Yeah, and
go ahead.
I just don't like that they gave Matthias's idea to, or they gave Jess's idea to Matthias. Like she was gonna fake out Clooney and grab the tapestry and run away. Like she did all that in the book, and they gave the idea to Matthias. I don't know. I just don't like that.
Agreed.
Jess was significantly more awesome in the book.
I mean, it feeds into the Chosen One narrative. Like, I have to do all everything awesome. Well, my future wife is actually more awesome. But... but yeah, I mean, we do get some actual straight lines from the book, and I will never not laugh at Basil with, well, molesting Clooney's face like that. For lack of a better word.
We do get the cartoon version of the line, I want his head! What's the matter, old chap? Is your own head not good enough for you? Ugly bloater, aren't you?
Yes.
And he squeezes Clooney's cheeks. It's like, oh my god.
Which also, I'd like to say, Basil is bigger than Clooney.
Yeah, he is.
Yep.
Aside from the owl we have yet to see, Basil is the tallest character.
The biggest Basil.
I may have missed it or forgotten, because it's been a little bit since I watched these episodes, because I decided to watch them ahead of time and be all, you know, smart, and I was like, wait, I just forgot half the stuff that happened. Anyway.
Yeah, you should just watch them at the last second like I did.
Yeah, but,
I watched them last night.
Did Basil injure himself in the Like, did he do the thing where he twisted his leg? Because that was in the book.
I actually
yes
did,
and no.
Okay.
I didn't notice it.
We see him later with a crutch and bandages on his leg, but it's not expressly shown in the
Oh,
scene.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought Wing was getting the Vol family out, that he twisted his leg on the way out.
No, it was during the tapestry rescue, in the book anyway.
Yep.
Oh.
What was
that? I have no idea. I'm going to ignore that.
That was interesting Gollum-like sound there.
Drew is transforming.
Okay, we're gonna ignore that those creepy sounds.
Don't feed me after midnight.
Okay.
You're voiced by Howie Mandel. Mm? See the two or three people who actually watched Gremlins and got that joke. Good for you. Everyone else, kids, look up IMDb.
I haven't seen it either.
Do it for your podcast.
We could, actually, because it was one of the few movies to freak me the F out as a child to the point I couldn't
Uh-oh.
Watch it till I was an adult.
My sister
anyway.
Watched Chucky when she was 4. That was not a good idea.
Oh, God.
Hey.
Oh, look at the little doll. Oh, God, no.
Yeah, she's afraid of dolls till this day, so when she made me mad as a kid, I would put dolls in her bed, so she'd, like, pull out the covers and
tear me off.
I was kind of an evil child.
Oh, we all
what?
Were. But yeah, it ends at episode 6. We get the tapestry back, and Methuselah's gonna sew it. Oh, wait, he's dead.
Ooh.
Yeah, whoops.
Yeah, that's out of order.
So, I felt like, I swear to God, I didn't make these jokes. I swear there were two unintentional or intentional puns where at the very beginning Basil's like, I know someone who can help you, Matthias, and he goes, who? And then when Matthias leaves, the abbot's like, I hope he hasn't bitten off more than he can chew. Like,
I don't know.
Are these intent? And I swear when I misheard Matthias where Basil gives him the medal and he's like, how will that protect me? I literally heard it as, how will that protect me?
Well, maybe it's like a super, super deep cut that they were waiting for someone to get, and now you finally got it.
Yay! What do I win?
Also, as we mentioned earlier with the NF... Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, I just said I was thinking of stuff he could win, but I didn't have a witty response to it, so go ahead.
So, yeah. I forgot to mention, this episode literally begins with, as we mentioned, Abbott and Constance talking about how Mopey Matthias is to literally walk past a cloned Matthias and Cornflower talking happily on the bench, and there's the Mopey Prime Matthias right over there. So, yes, they're running out of animation models.
Oh, dear. I just have to point out also, last episode, Jeremy, you mentioned how Clooney was like, porridge! They defeated me with porridge! And this time it's a dishcloth? No! Like, it was so much scarier in the book. Like, the voice actor that played Clooney in the audiobook did a super good job of just being, when he got mad, just being super scary. But this guy just is, like, the classic just yelling no. Yes.
Angry Clooney is a hilarious Clooney.
Yeah, pretty much.
That makes me feel angry.
You can't just make have people say how they feel.
So episode 7. And Clooney's making a battering ram that the Red Wallers kind of ignore for a while.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. But more importantly, oh yeah, the sword. The snake has it. Oh, what are we going to do about that?
Well, that's the end of that. Time to go home.
Yep.
Isn't Mira the mole's harder to understand in the show than in the book?
I didn't have a problem, really.
I thought the moles did pretty good in the series, yeah.
Maybe she's
okay,
a little
just
enough that I knew what to expect, but... And then the tapestry is still predicting the future because it literally shows Captain Snow and the snake on it.
Interesting.
Too bad it doesn't warn Matthias about the cat.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get to him. Yeah.
Ginger.
And then Matthias is like, okay, but yeah, we get the whole scene of where Basil's like, okay, he sets up where you're going to have to find Captain Snow. And I will actually give this to the Basil voice actor. He actually does a really good job of making this very threatening, like, oh, you're going to see Captain Snow, you're probably going to die.
Yeah.
And then only for the actual animation of the metal itself to look completely terrible.
That is unfortunate.
Ugh. It's like literally like, I don't know, what's the... It's literally like bad CGI in a movie. It's like, oh, you're oppressing... It's like this huge buildup of the villain, and then it's Jeremy Irons in Dungeons & Dragons. Come on! And no, Jeremy, I actually love you in that movie because you're hilarious. But that's another story. And, yeah. So, but Matthias is insisting that only Basil knows where he's going. Why?
Because if the abbot found out, he'd be like, Matthias, stop trying to do good things. Be worthless like I am.
Yes.
So, yes. And then he wanders into Abbey. And then Constance is left in charge. And finally, someone talented is tactically smart, is actually running things.
Yay, Constance!
Yes.
Except for the CGI bees on another layer of animation.
Oh my god.
I don't even know that they're CGI. It is literally apples and oranges here. We have the Red Wars normal animation, good or bad as it is, and then here's the bees. And they're literally, like, in front of the camera.
He drew the bees, then they cell blocked it, then they duplicated it, and they were like, yep, that's fine. It's good. Bees!
Not the bees!
Not the bees!
We need Rose to come sing for us to make the... Hey, I said Rose. I can say Rose now.
Yeah!
Rose
can.
Dies? Rose dies!
Yeah, she's dead. Thank you. Joke is over. She's dead and buried like the joke. Oh, I made myself sad.
The joke rose from the dead for a day. I bet that stung.
Wah, wah, wah.
Oh,
hey, want to hear me throwing my phone across the room?
How about not? Oh, but also with the hornet's nest thing, that was Jess's idea in the book, and they gave it to Constance, which doesn't bother me as much as giving it to Matthias, but still, I mean, Jess has some cool ideas, and they all get taken away from her.
Poor At least Jess. They didn't give yes. it to Cornflower.
That's true.
Well, to be fair, they've already taken enough away from Jess with the absence of her husband and son in this series.
Well, don't they show Sam a little bit, but you don't get... Do we get
like,
the...
Maybe
indication.
A second or two, but he's not named or used.
Yeah, okay.
So.
Interesting.
But her husband is definitely gone. So.
Poor Jess.
Bye, Mr. Squirrel. I hope you have fun on your nature walk.
Deadbeat dads are not cool.
And,
PSA by Redwall.
Yes, so Matthias finally makes it out to Shrew territory. And,
Oh, God, the shrews.
Yeah. Well, first of all, they're given a Russian accent in Britain.
Yes, interesting.
I liked it.
Logalog sounds like a vampire.
I can
see,
now that you say that,
suck your blood in triplicate. And yes, the shrews have their own HR, because they mentioned that crossing their land, you have to file for it in triplicate.
And then Matthias is like, I don't care, and just keeps walking. They're like, oh.
Wait, good guy HR is protesting. And this is why good guys don't have HR, apparently. So, yeah. And then he basically talks to Shrews and like, oh, just guide me to Captain Snow, I'll do the rest. And, yeah. we get the barn scene, but and then yeah, just like in the book, Matthias falls into the mouse, the mouth of the cat, and that's the end of that.
Why not? Blimp,
it was
blimp,
a good series. Well, series one. Okay, yeah, he's not dead.
No. Cornflower is going to take over from here.
I like that idea.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, and then Scale comes up again because Julian is huge. Okay, yeah, he's a cat to a mouse. Fine. But we're talking bigger than Basil, and, you know, and when otters are literally the same size as defender mice on the wall, but later they're double the size below at the bottom of the wall, this series is weird.
Defender yes. Mice sounds like another bad Saturday morning cartoon show. Defender Mice.
I would watch it.
That's why I'm naming my next garage band.
Sounds good.
Nice.
We are the Defender Mice.
You're a squeak.
And, yeah. So, and then when Clooney's battering ram finally gets there, and, you know, he's attacking the Abbey, and the Abbot Mortimer actually is like, okay, go get Matthias. He's the best defender here. And I'm just constantly just sitting there like, what? You gotta be wondering what her two cents are at this point. Like, I'm sorry, what?
Yes.
Why can't she can't do it? Ugh. So, and then we finally see Matthias. He meets the cat. Yeah, he's not dead. And Julian's like, okay, I'll take you to Captain Snow because it'll be fun to watch him eat you, or if he doesn't.
Then Matthias meets Captain Snow, who grabs him, and I like when Matthias talks to him at first. He's like, stand up straight when you're addressing me. It's like, dude, you're holding him against the ground with your claw. How is he supposed to
and
stand up straight?
And he looks very tasty. Yeah. So.
Yes.
I do like where he's like, I'd even stop eating mice. And you hear in the background, and shrews.
That was pretty funny. Because Captain Snow just kind of blinks at that, like, okay.
He's like, and then when Matthias makes him make the promise, too, he's like, I will stop eating mice and shrews. Yay!
Otters, hares, everybody else, you're out of luck.
Now the hares are about as big as he is, so.
Point. But, yeah. And then we actually get something that never happens in the series. The vermin found the side gates.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. This could actually work.
And they set it on fire.
Yeah. And, you know, it's for the moment, yeah, this actually looks like this would be a competent plan, but we still have, oh, I don't know, 8 episodes more.
I wonder if, like, they got near the end of the episode, and we're like, oh, right, we still have more to do.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, well, put that fire out. Clooney can't come in. Sorry, Clooney, it's not the dramatic showdown yet. But I'm in the Barbie. No.
Clooney just sulks away when they play the sad Charlie Brown music.
For some reason, I thought of the but like sad.
Oh, like in a minor key. Funeral dirge.
I'm gonna vote for the Incredible Hulk, the sad walking away theme. But yeah, that episode ends and the episode ends with Clooney slightly inside the Abbey, and then here comes Matthias with the Gossam to fight the what?
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't happen in the book.
We've been saying that a lot lately. That seems to be the theme of these episodes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
But yeah, the shrews help fight him off, and then, oh yeah, Matthias, you still need to go after the snake. Okay.
Yeah, when that part happened, like, all of a sudden Matthias was like, get him! And all the shrews just kind of leap on him. My only reaction was like, wait, what? Huh? Who? What? What is going on?
The episode and then Clooney ends with Clooney. Yeah.
Yep. Poor Clooney. Poor. But I don't know
class.
The way this is going.
Now I'm just picturing in my mind a face-off between book Clooney and series Clooney, and like them arguing together, like, you're not evil at all.
I will show you how to be a villain.
Yes, exactly.
I can't stay mad at me. I love me.
Oh, I read that fan fiction.
Oh, did you?
God. Oh, my God.
Book Clooney X, animated Clooney.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, do we have more
no!
head desking going on?
Yes.
X Farlow.
Okay.
I didn't hear that part. I just... Ignore it, Pete. Quick, move on to episode 8.
Basically, we have Basil, Matthias, and Constance on the parapet, and they're like, hey, what if we just kill Clooney?
What if? Good idea.
And Constance starts forming the massive arrow she's going to need for this. It's like, she doesn't even waste time talking. Okay, that's a good idea.
She just grabs, like, a giant spear and starts bashing it with a rock.
to form the head. So, hey, props to Constance. She's being proactive.
And the beaver does not appear in this episode, that doesn't really bother me. Like, I didn't really see the point of the beaver, because he never appears again.
Oh, yeah.
Not only does he not, his species doesn't appear again, and, like, after that chapter, he doesn't appear again.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I wasn't upset about that.
Sir not appearing in this show.
I like, at this point, too, they're like, all right, let's not tell the abbot, because he's just going to be stupid about it anyway. Let's just go. Let's just do it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Forget the abbot.
They were much
meanwhile,
nicer, though.
Meanwhile, not Monterey Jack, Kilcony, and that's his name now, he can climb the walls well enough to get up to the parapet and manage to hear this. While Clooney, he has another nightmare of Martin the Warrior without the colors this time, I noticed. So, go figure. Clooney's having another nightmare where Martin's killing him and with slicing him into itty-bitty bits. So,
Cheese Thief tries to murder him.
Wait, we're not up to Farrago yet. What are these vermin being proactive for?
And Clooney wakes up and he's like, "Oh, Chief, I was just wanted to say hi."
Ignore the knife.
With my knife.
Ignore the knife.
How's it going?
That's a very nice. Put the knife away, Cheese Thief.
Yeah. I like it, too, is, like, Clooney makes a big show of kicking him out and everything, and he makes his way back to his buddies. They're like, yeah, you didn't kill him. It's like, no, really? I didn't notice.
Meanwhile, Kilcony actually has been listening to the disgruntled officers, and he basically tells Clooney, hey, railroaders are going to snipe you, and your own officers, led by Cheese Thief, are trying to kill you.
Yeah, maybe you should do something about that. Clooney's like,
maybe I shall. That's a good idea, Kilcony. Glad I thought of it. But yeah, again, he's being slightly productive here. Proactive here, because he actually has someone who reports to him on his own award. So, props to that show, Clooney. So, but, right after this, he basically brings Cheese Thief in and says, look, I need you to, take over for a day. I'm going to go on a nature walk. Yeah, that's it.
Apparently there's some mystical squirrel that's gone missing.
I hear there's a reward.
I'll cross books if I have to find him.
So, you sit in my office and go over the battle plans. That'll work.
Yep.
And discreetly, he slips Cheese Thief the idiot ball back.
Yep.
Hold this for me.
Yeah. And he's doing all of this while he's eating from a block of cheese.
Yep. And at one point, he kind of like holds it out and cheese. He's like, oh, thanks, boss. And then he just eats it. And he's like, nope, this is my cheese. And I do like Clooney leaves him in the tent. And Cheese Thief, like, sits down at Clooney's desk and looks at, first of all, a blank sheet of paper. And he's like, I don't get it. And he then drinks what looks like a bottle of ink.
This is supposed to be wine, right? Glug, 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 glug.
Yeah, like, it's literally, it's right next to the maps and everything. There's the, the feather right there to write, and it's right next to this big glass jar of black stuff. I'm like, that has to be the ink. And he just grabs it and starts drinking it.
Eh, maybe I don't have to wait for the Red Dwellers to snipe him. He'll poison himself at this rate.
Exactly.
Yep. And then Cheese Thief decides to actually live up to his name by stealing cheese, and he's dead.
When, before this happened, we get the Red Dwellers basically taking time with this massive sniper rifle.
Which they don't use again.
Well, the book kind of made it obvious that this was a tactical advantage they really weren't going to get again.
Mm.
But, yeah. And it's less graphic than the book actually was. If anyone remembers the book art, literally it shows Cheese Thief's corpse on, like, flopped on his back with this massive arrow through his middle of his gut.
Oh, goody.
Here we just get the arrow going into the Cheese Thief's silhouette, and he just kind of drops over.
Bye, Cheese Thief.
Okay, then. Yeah, bye, Cheese Thief. We will soon forget you.
Yes.
And the Red Dwellers actually think they killed him. Although Constance actually is this the only tactical smart one saying, yeah, we should probably wait till the horde breaks up before we do anything and stand down or anything.
Yep. And this was in the book, like, he escaped just by luck because he didn't know about the plan, and then they actually knew that he wasn't dead, I believe.
No. I mean, he basically comes right out and kind of waves at Constance over the parapet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's
Yeah. Well, I remember in the book, like, Clooney honestly thought Cheese Thief would make a good second in command, and when he comes back, he's like, oh, that's bad. Maybe he's, that's his arm stuck inside the ground, and that's an arrow where his spleen used to be. All right, time to think of something quick. I totally meant to do that.
Yep.
Vermin HR, medic. coroner.
Maybe he'll survive. Let me give him CPR. Sir, his chest seems to be outside of his body. No, I can still save him.
And you can see the coroner standing behind Clooney, just kind of with a bored look on his face, like, would you just let me do my job?
Yeah, or somewhat one of the other guys, like, he's already dead!
What, do you think this is Sinker or something? Come on, he's might be okay.
Where's Barrier?
Yeah.
Well, there's only one thing to do. Go through his pockets for this change.
Yep.
Well, exactly.
And then the Red Dwellers are like, yeah, Clooney's totally dead, let's party. And the Abbot's like, take the guards off the walls. They're like, maybe we should leave them there until the rat's like, no, it's fine.
I'm convinced the Abbot is some kind of plant.
I think he's is he taking the place of that one field mouse that Clooney uses in the book to get inside?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't finished it. We haven't finished the series yet, so maybe.
It was the Abbot. The Abbot all along.
Zoinks! I didn't see that coming, Scoob.
It's not Abbot Mortimer. It's. Oh, it is. He's just horribly incompetent. All right.
Yeah. Guess so.
Unfortunately, it is.
It's like, what was the quote from Red versus Blue? That doesn't make me evil. Just means I'm a terrible leader.
Yeah.
Please don't leave me with the terrible doctor.
Shut up, Caboose.
So, yeah. And then, of course, as we know, yeah, the Red Dwellers are partying, and they're getting drunk, and they're doing what people mice do when they drink, or get party. But, Cornflower basically takes some food up to the sentries to find, oh, there's a siege tower there.
Yep.
Without and Eris.
Then, yeah. You know what? This part of Cornflower being awesome is at least from the book, and I do like the fact that she does pick up a spear and try to stand up to Clooney.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, are we sure she's not the chosen one here?
Chosen one!
It's kind of funny.
That's my job!
Right before this, she's like, oh, I didn't get a chance to be brave. How sad. I'm like, oh, that's terrible foreshadowing. Because he's just like, oh, yep.
I'm sorry, Cornflower. You didn't get to take over the show in this episode.
I think she deserves it. Oh, my God.
Don't worry, Cornflower. We still like you more than Fleet Scut.
Yes.
That's a large... That's a large gulf of like here.
Yeah. Okay, fine. It's okay, animated Cornflower. We still like you more than animated Mortimer.
But yeah, thank there you. You go.
But, yeah, so, what can I say? Cornflower is awesome, yes. Mm-hmm. And, but she does bring up a good point here. Matthias is like, well, Clooney's dead, right? So what? I still need to get the sword because it'll help protect us. What? Or is that just the writers realizing you still have episodes left?
Yeah, they could have said something like, I still want to get the sword because I have several things coming to my mind. Option A, like, because I want to. It's a quest. I just want to finish it. Option B, it's what Methuselah would have wanted, and I want to make him proud. You know, anything like that.
Yeah, but those reasons make sense, and as we've learned from these last few episodes, the show has suddenly stopped making any semblance of sense.
Ah, that's true.
Matthias could actually argue, let's take our warrior defenders in force to go kill the snake now that Clooney is dead.
Yeah.
Doesn't just have to be you.
Yeah. Basil, Constance, let's go beat, like, Constance, you hold the snake down and I'll stab it in the head.
Exactly.
Constance, you hold, I'll stab. In fact, badgers are probably, like, the biggest natural enemy of snakes.
At least in Britain, yeah. And, yeah, that would have actually... I can just imagine Asmodeus, like, waking up his lair, and he's surrounded by, like, 20 angry Redwallers, and like, what did I do?
He's like, no. Hello. Didn't expect you here so soon.
Can we talk about this? Parlay?
Like, this is awkward.
Gets suplexed by a badger.
Yeah.
Oh. And then it just zooms out like cartoon soon. You just see this fight cloud. And you hear Asmodeus like, oh, ow, ow! I give up!
That doesn't bend that way. Wait a minute, I'm a snake. Everything bends that way.
Oh, God, it's bending!
Yeah, when
why are you
tying
me up in knots?
It's a pretzel.
Okay, we got the sword back.
Yep. Bye, Asmodeus. Have fun with, you know, being tied up.
Now I want a pretzel. All. Somebody said pretzel, and now I want a pretzel. Anyway.
But yeah, Matthias still wants the sword because we still have 5 more episodes. And oh, Clooney isn't dead.
Clooney?
Yes, Clooney actually clones himself.
And names him Clooney.
I don't know. I think it sounds like if Kilcony and Clooney merged into one creature, it'd be Clooney.
Ew.
I kind of like Kilcony.
Kilcony.
Yes.
Kilcony.
He's like, kill me.
The bastard child of Clooney and Kilcony.
Yes.
Every moment I live is agony.
Fan fiction writers, get on it.
Yep.
Oh, no!
No! I'm sure if we search hard enough, we'd find that.
Or we probably just give in the denizens of the internet something new to write about.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, that's going to be my new one. I'm going to post that to the Redwall forums.
I will read it.
Okay, the fan fiction challenge for when we do our next fan fiction episode. We come up with the weirdest ideas and see what people can do with it.
Yes.
That sounds scary. That's
go,
a
Captain
frightening
Tama.
Idea.
Captain Tama, write me a Kilcony fan fiction.
Kilcony.
Oh, no.
Yes.
He would, too.
He would, too.
At least I think so. Anyway, so yeah, that's the end of episode 8, and we still don't have the sword back, and Clooney's still alive, and Mr. Squirrel's still missing, because he's never in this series.
Yep.
The circus had more screen time than Mr. Squirrel did.
And Sam.
And Jess. I think Knife Mouse had more... I don't remember her stupid name, I don't care. I think Knife Mouse had more lines than Jess.
Wild Ivy.
Wild Ivy!
Yeah!
Oh... Knife Mouse just reminds me that in Doki Doki literature, there's a girl that's literally Knife Wife.
Oh, yeah.
Knife Wife.
She likes knives. They make her feel tingly.
Oh, yeah, they do. And then you get to spend the weekend with her.
All right, then.
It's less exciting than it sounds.
The thing is, this is not the first female character, even, I've noticed of late, who really likes knives. I was at a recent production of Romeo and Juliet in our local Shakespeare Festival in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Juliet threatens to stab herself 3 times if she doesn't get her way. And then does at the end of the play.
Probably because someone got tired of her threatening. It's like, if you're going to do it, just do it.
Yeah.
Or doth do it. I don't know.
Doth stab thyself.
Yes.
I doth stab myself.
Yes. Yeah. So that was weird, episodes 5 through 8, and the series definitely had a weird midpoint.
Yes.
By weird, you mean bad.
Yes, of course. I was starting to soften the blow.
Yeah, remember how the end of the last episode, I was like, yeah, I kind of look forward to watching more episodes. I take it back.
Well, we have 5 left there, Jeremy.
No!
Not the dishcloth.
Okay.
The dish rag.
Hey, Clooney, why is there a dish rag on your flag now? Shut up.
I might as well use it. It's a perfectly good dish rag, and it'll piss off the friar.
I regret nothing. He still sounds like hedonism, but he really does.
I could do a quote here, but anything I ask is going to take away from your impression there, dude.
Thank you. So are we just going to do all 5 episodes next time?
Yeah, I figure that's the easiest.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll gun it. Send
why,
it.
Why drag it out longer than we have to?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, episode 8 was episode great.
You forgot to put the knot before that. Alright, I'm being unfair. Only episode 5 was terrible. The other 3 were merely annoying.
I was going to say, nothing was as bad as episode 5 for me. I was just like, what is going on? This makes no sense.
I don't remember this in the book.
Yes.
It's almost like Myrtle. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's dead, too. Sorry, Myrtle.
It's okay. I'll just continue lying in my ditch with my face in the water.
They didn't even bury you?
Oh, dear.
Poor Myrtle.
You know what the last thing that went through Cheese Thief's mind was? The arrow.
There's some point I know I wish I could say no more puns, but I know you'd ignore me anyway.
What's wrong? Can't take the punishment?
That was bad.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like the other ones were quote unquote good.
Bad pun points for you, sir.
Bad pun points.
Yes.
Negative pun points.
I guess I'll have to punch it up next time.
More bad pun points. Was that a phone being thrown?
You know, Pete, you can end this at any time.
I could, but I'm kind of like watching you digging your own grave here. All right, folks, next time we'll be episodes 9 through 13, and eventually we'll pick up the books again.
Yay, books. I've missed the books.
I know, I do too. Good. All right.
Well,
Jeremy, where can they find us on the internet?
You can find us on recorderonthewall.com or on iTunes and Google Play under Recorder on the Wall. You can also find us on the Eulalia subreddit as well as the official Red Wall forums. We have our own Twitter account, which is hashtag ROTPod. Or wait, no.
At ROTWPod.
At ROTWPod. And we also have a Gmail account, rotwpod@gmail.com. Please email us and give us your feedback there or any suggestions or other cool stuff. And I'm saying this all in one breath.
Yay! You did it!
Find us on.
He didn't pass out that time.
No. Uh-oh.
I spoke too soon.
Oh, boy.
Apparently. Well, we'll kick him a few times after we stop recording here. So.
Sounds good.
He'll be fine.
I'll let the dog loose on him. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, folks, until next time. Until next time, thank you for joining us. And we'll see you in the next Cartoon Watch.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Peace, nerds. Smell you later, Gramps.
Hey, Gary Oak, back to your series.